The following message is an Antioch Bible Church presentation.
Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for your word. Move your servant out of the way. Have the freedom you want to say and do. To anybody and everybody. Because, Lord, this is about your love, what it means for you to love us. We praise you and we thank you. May we get a better view and a better picture of the patience that you have towards us believers. We are so ignorant of how and what you feel. In a small way, Lord, help us by being in your word. In your son's most holy, precious, and glorious name, we all say.
Praise God.
Look down at John chapter 11, verse 30 and 31. We proved a little bit of the premise that I felt that Mary owned the village and Martha owned the house. Verse 30. Now, Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. Martha had gone out and met Jesus, I believe somewhere almost 2 miles out. Talked to him, got a little rebuke. Realized she didn't understand everything about Jesus and came to the conclusion, just knowing you, Jesus, is enough. I don't understand all the things you're doing. I don't understand how you worked and why you worked the way you worked. I don't know why you let my brother die, but I do know one thing. You're the Christ. And I'm going to sell on that. And she walked back to her house, told Mary. And Mary went out and ran and met Jesus where Martha had met him. In verse 31, the Jews then who were with her in the house and comforted her when they saw Mary that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she going unto the grave to weep, and they went with her, think that she was on the way to her brother's grave. Now, when Martha moved, who moved? No one. When Mary moved, who moved? Everybody. The difference between owning your own little area, your own little house, your own little church. I am not interested in being a Martha ministry. Just being involved with just Antioch, just inside the four walls, that's not what God called us as Christians to do and to be. Mary owns the village because she's been a Christian and doing those things outside of the four walls that need to be seen by people to see that there's a difference from those Christians than some of the other Christians I've ever seen. I want to be a Mary ministry. M-A-R-Y-M-E-R-R-Y. A Mary ministry. Where we are outside of our walls and we're owning those things outside of the walls that God has called us to be examples of. Everything we do at Antioch, everything I do in my life has a biblical scriptural principle behind it. That is what God has called us. That is what God wants us to understand. And you know why he wants us to own everything? He leaves us on the earth after we become Christians. If God was interested in just getting us to be believers, the easiest thing in the world is for us to all die the minute we accept him. So there's got to be another major purpose. And I want you to see the sacrifice that God makes every day that he leaves you and I on the earth. Is that okay?
Yes, sir.
Love often waits. Love sometimes weeps. Verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Have we heard that before? Oh, what is that? Go back to verse 21. You got it? Then said Martha unto Jesus, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. Think those two sisters have been talking. Think the two sisters have been asking questions, something like that. Why did he do this? Why did he allow this to happen? I thought he loved Lazarus. He not only let him die, did not let him live. He didn't even show up. Can you imagine if you were going through some difficulties and one of the pastors here at Antioch that's been ministering to you didn't call or didn't show up? If the leadership acted kind of, what if, okay, I got more important things to do. You know, people leave churches for that. Can't hear you. People leave churches for two reasons. They don't like the biblical stand and they don't feel like they're cared for. Praise be to God. One is a trophy. One is not doing what God has called us to do in a Mary ministry. If someone leave because they don't like the biblical stance, praise Jesus. We're not going to compromise. We're not going to change. If my brother could have lived, Jesus, he could have if you could have been here. You should have come. Question, did Jesus have to be there to heal Lazarus? You mean he could have done it long distance? He's certainly doing it now long distance. Amen. Can I have an amen? Amen. Some of us, man, as Christians, we get to praying and we think that Jesus is out there. And we think that we got to reach past the ceiling and we got to reach past the United States and we got to get those prayers way out there. Do you know the Holy Spirit's living inside of you? You don't have to get it past your roof. He's right here. He is taking residence right inside of us. Sometimes he don't like what he's living with. But he is indwelling. Nothing happens in our lives that catches him by surprise. If you would have been here. Man, Mary, you been listening to Martha? Marys don't do good listening to Marthas. Mary just sit back, get in the word, lay down. You know, Mary Christians just, well, okay, yeah. Jesus, you can come when you want to come. I'm good with it. Martha's is writing out how Jesus ought to do it. You ever been there? Now, if he does this and this and this and does it this way, man, this is good. And it's always centered around us. I'm surprised how much we think of us. And I can't stand people that say they got a bad self-image. I just got a bad self-image. I need to improve my self-image. No, you need to die to yourself. Because when the minute you go, I had to improve myself, and I got to feel better about me. You are lying out of your teeth. You see, if I don't like you, I want bad things to happen to you. Come on, tell me. If you don't like someone, are you really excited when good things happen for them? I'm just asking. I'm a preacher. My job is to ask. Do you like good things happening to people you don't like? Because then we got to fake it when we pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for letting that happen to them. When we know we're lying out of our teeth, man, we are so up. Relationships. In relationship. Come on. If they're bad. That's why we have love and respect class. Amen. And couples, you need to be in that love and respect class, even if you think you got love and respect in your relationship. Zeke, when that start? Is that next Sunday, if I'm not mistaken? 7 plus 13 is the 20th, right? Now watch out, man. I'm an old athlete. You get me mixed up when I start having to add. Next week, okay. Next week, 9. That's where we got love and respect class. We don't want to be getting all these bad ideas about what you got to feel about you. Because if you don't like yourself, you know when you're the happiest? When things go bad for you. I rest my case. Love sometimes weeps. It often. So love is going to wait a lot more than it's going to weep. Is that what I'm hearing? And sometimes waiting produces the weeping. You know why? Because the waiting produces in the person that wants you to move fast an idea that you don't care. And when love feels that you don't care about how you're being loved by them, it brings weeping. If you're a parent and you know you need to wait to help that kid, and that kid don't understand it, do you rejoice or do you weep? Do the right thing, even in the midst of weeping. Watch what happens. Because you can't get to the third one if you don't do the first two. And love always works. Sometimes and often. Sometimes weeps, often waits, but always works. That always is a great comforting word, isn't it? Well, I can hear that one, boy. That was a weak amen on that one right there. Yeah, maybe you're just thinking about it and don't think the pastor needs encouragement. I'm often waiting for an amen in this service. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping, who came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Somebody, come on, come on, come on. Somebody tell me that you think he's groaning in the spirit because they're weeping about his death. Huh? Can't hear you. Now, if you was at the funeral yesterday, you just keep quiet. He was troubled in his spirit. Then the shortest verse in the Bible, verse 35, Jesus wept. For years as a Christian, I couldn't understand that verse. And I certainly didn't understand or want to accept the explanation for that verse. Because I read the rest of the chapter. It did not make sense to me. Why are you weeping about something that you had complete control over? I'm asking you the question. Why would you weep over something that you had complete control over, not allowing it to happen? Why would you cry over losing a job when you had the power to stay at the job? So there's got to be something we're missing about Jesus weeping. And that's because we don't understand how God looks at you and I dying. Jesus wept. Groaned in his spirit, was troubled, and he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said unto the Lord, "Come and see," and he wept. Verse 36, check this out. Here's the secret to really understanding what's coming. Then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." Is this some love stuff going on in this chapter? Is there some misunderstanding of love going on in this chapter? Oh my, he loved him. Can you look at how he's weeping? Listen, verse 37. And some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind," chapter 9, "have caused that even this man should not have died?" Who? I can't understand. He had the power to open the blind man's eye, and he's crying about this man dying. Couldn't he done something? And Jesus is troubling his heart because they don't understand him. Troubled. Because I'm going to tell you, if it was me, that's why God had not allowed me to be God. Can I have an amen? Amen. We got it all on. And you can say that about you too. Don't just sit around and think it's me that's up here saying it. God has not allowed any of us to be God. Because we would mess it up. I would have taken advantage of this situation. Totally taken advantage of it. See, I know I'm getting ready to raise him from the dead. I know I could have stopped him. But since I love everybody that's involved, if I don't do it this way, you're not going to learn what you need to learn, and you're not going to learn how to love others. You're not going to learn how to love me back. So if I was God, oh, I would have messed it up. I would have messed the sisters up first, too. Oh. You're weeping a little bit, huh, girl? Huh? You're weeping? Don't you know who I are? Come on now. I told him yesterday, so some of you white people out there going, you shouldn't let black people get the mic. They speak bad English. Don't you know who I are? Is he the Trinity or not? Is he three in one? One in three. So don't you know who I are? It's correct. I will go, girl, don't you know who I are? I am the man. Shut up. Quit crying. He'll be back in a minute. But sometimes, folks, the best thing you can do is when someone's weeping, is just keep your mouth shut and weep with them. Just be available if they want to talk. You don't have to always say something to say the right thing. And when you can say, I just don't know what to say, stop it right there. Don't go any further. Amen. If you don't know what to say, you know the next thing you say is going to be wrong. I'm sorry, but man, you know, I've been waiting for this for years. This chapter is awesome when it comes to God loving us. Couldn't he have stopped this? Wow. I mean, Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself. Why is he groaning so much? Why is the spirit troubled? Why is he having such a difficult time with Lazarus coming back? Oh, I slipped. It came out before I wanted it to. Most of you missed it, didn't you? Let me remind you. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, verse 38, came to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Oh, here comes the doer who keeps everything clean. He sees everything organized, who can see a stain before it ever happened. Martha. The sister of Lazarus, who was dead, said unto Jesus, oh, by this time he stinks. He's been dead for 4 days. Got a question for you. Which one of you would say the same thing? Amen. Thank you so much for being honest. How many of you would have said the same thing? I love him, but he stinks right now. I don't want to be around him. That's a category of, you don't have to be dead to stink to somebody. Do you still want to be around them? You still want to do the right thing for them? Man, don't do it, Jesus. If you would have been here, you could have saw him before we put him in there. Because he stinks right now. Jesus said, that's all right. I love stinkers. Hey, I know he loves me. And I can be Odysseus at times. Don't be laughing too much. So can you. Check this out. Jesus said to her, didn't I tell you earlier, remember the conversation he had with Martha when she first ran up? Can't hear you? Remember when she first ran up to him, met him outside of town and said, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. He says, hey, if you believe me, you'll never die. You believe me, you're going to be resurrected. You believe me, your brother's going to live. She goes, okay. Remember I told you when we went through that those section of verse, she was lying? Now, if she really believed that, she would have been the one encouraging to take the stone away. She didn't believe it. Her brother's dead. I mean, that's it. They took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Now, listen to this. This is the key of understanding why Jesus is weeping. Jesus lifted up his eyes, said to the Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Is he praying this prayer out loud? Can't hear you. And he's praying it so others can hear it. Can't hear you. So he's answering why he's weeping in his prayer. And I knew that thou hearest me always, verse 42, but because of the people who stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus has said this, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. You know why Jesus cried? Because he had to bring Lazarus back to a hurting, dying world so you can, I can believe. Isn't that pitiful? What it takes sometimes for God to do to help you believe? I don't know about you folks. Lazarus is in the bosom of Abraham. Can't hear you. We already proved that in Luke chapter 16. My boy is in there. Uh-huh. No more crying. Uh-huh. No more dying. Uh-oh. Something going on here. Who? Who just called? Who called who? He called me to come back to where people don't like me? Folks, let me ask you a question. If you die and go to heaven, you want to come back here? I know you can lie to me if you want to, but I'm going to give you a little secret. We don't want to even come back from vacation. I know I don't want to come back from over there having pate. Jesus is cooking ribs. Holy Spirit. He's up there with us and waving from down here to up there. Oh, no, when I come back, I want a new body, and I want to be helping Jesus rule. Can I have an amen? I don't want to come back like this. That's why I die. Get away from this. So should we look at? Well, we'll look at why it was so miraculous, because I have not read this in any commentary anywhere or what I believe. And it's okay. Commentaries have a right to be wrong. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. But I haven't read it anywhere. And he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Why did he have to cry with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth? Can't hear you. Oh, it would have been a grave break. Can I have that? Have you seen some of that? The most frustrating series I've ever even taken a little bit of part in. I had my kids trick me to look at some of it. That series, Prison Break. Ignorant. Everything that could possibly go wrong went wrong in that little 15-minute section that I looked at, and I couldn't handle it anymore. I just... Can you imagine if Jesus would have just said, come forth? Folks would have been crying. I don't want to come back. They was down in a 3-point stance, ready to break out of there. And he goes, Lazarus, oh, it's me. I got to come back. What's up? And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a cloth. Jesus said unto him, unto them who he wants to believe, loose him and let him go. Question. Pastor wants to know, how did he come out of that grave? How did he come out of that grave? Floated out. He didn't walk out. He's got his face covered. He's bound with grave clothes. You know how they bound him? Can't walk. If he did, he'd go, boom, boom. Because when did they loose him? Inside or outside the grave? You know that him doing it that way was the greatest act of the people to forget the Jewish law. Because you can't touch a dead body and not be defiled. So when he came out of there floating and stood up and had to go over and loose him, they had to drop all of their old religion and come into the new call of God, the church. Love often weeps, but not because of why we weep most of the time. Turn with me real quick. We got to get it. It's too important to miss. To Psalms 115. Give me an amen and a hallelujah when you get there. You got it? Psalms 115, verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto the name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the nation say, where is now your God? Things are falling apart. Enemies surrounding. They look like they're losing. And none of the nations respects Israel's God because he's not strong enough to protect his people. And they're saying, where's your God now? Where's your God now, Mary, Martha, down that your brother's dead? Where's your God now that you lost your job? Where's your God now that you have gotten sick, ill? Where's your God now that things aren't going your way? Where's your God now when he promised that he'll never put you in a situation that you cannot stand and you cannot handle? Where is he now? Verse 3 says, but our God is in the heavens and he has done whatsoever he pleases. Come on, talk to me, somebody. Talk to me. He is in the heavens. God the Father. God the Son has died on the cross. And the Holy Spirit lives within me. That's where my God is. Somebody get a pastor something, some kind of response. If it's nothing but throw a chair at me. Look at this. See, you see, when God allows one of his saints to die, it is the most exciting time because then and only then can he have the relationship with you and I that he wants to have face to face. He can't have it when we're in this. That keeps us from seeing him the way he is. And until death comes, that relationship is impossible. Verse 15 of Psalms 116. Give me a hallelujah when you got it. Precious in the sight of the Lord when one of his saints dies. Anybody know what precious means? Let me just give you the Hebrew definitions of some of the things that death, that precious mean. And then we're talking about in the sight of God. Because 16 says, O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. Death, where's your grip? Oh, my goodness. Anyone got any idea? Okay, I just leave it alone. I just leave it alone. I got to leave it alone, Mark, because we won't get out of here. Precious. Precious. Somebody tell me. Precious is the death to God. Precious, highly valued. Highly valued is God when he sees one of his saints die. Important it is to God when one of his saints dies. Glorious it is to God when one of his saints dies. How influential it is for others to see how we die when one of his saints dies. The corner, the most precious stone, the cornerstone. God sees us equal to the cornerstone when we die, because we become exactly like Christ when we die. Can you imagine the sacrifice he makes every day to allow us to keep breathing? I don't think we understand. I don't think we understand. But time is up, so I gotta quit. Anybody got the score? Just kidding. Come on. Sam, you guys gonna close for us? Yeah, I see that people moving up, so you must have a little something. Ladies and gentlemen, from God through me to you through the Holy Spirit. If you don't want to get a grip on how important God is and how patient he is to allow us to have another breath on this earth, you're going to miss the whole aspect of one of the greatest relationships that's ever been established. And the patience and the love that we should have for one another. You don't understand God if you don't know how to love one another and put up with one more day with that person you can't stand, you don't think you need. You don't think they're worth it. If you don't understand that, you'll never understand me, your pastor, who is loyal to a fault. But this is the reason why. This is the reason why. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Antioch Bible Church. For more information about Antioch Bible Church or to order additional resources, please call 425-556-5905 or go to www.abchurch.org.